the primary importance for women is reproduction. Whether mm-hmm. you want to reproduce or not, what's going to be protected the most in the female body is reproduction. So if you are constantly low-grade or high-grade fighting an infection, a virus, a parasite, something, inflammation, if you're routinely eating something you know you shouldn't be, but you can't resist, you know, like dairy or gluten, that's constantly setting off your immune system, then you're going to be sending resources to that and potentially letting the brain know, like, hey, we have an infection happening. And the brain will decrease the pulses that it sends to the ovaries. Therefore, it can be affecting the way that you make hormones like progesterone and estrogen.
Hello, Awaken Beauties. Finally, it's here. The truth to empower women to true inner beauty through a healthy mind and inner biology. I am your hostess, Cassandra Keel, a 20-year salon owner, organic beauty product formulator, positive mind management, and clinical hypnotherapist. And I am here to help you stay sane, get sleep, and bring your sexy back. Sponsored by evokebeauty.com. EVOQBeauty.com. Now, let's get to it. All right, ladies, if you're looking for healthy hair, beautiful skin, and a calm, quiet, clean, collected, powerful mind with superior CBD, go to evokebeauty.com. That's EVOQBeauty.com. And you'll receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's EVOQBeauty.com. Use the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order. Welcome to the Awaken Beauty Podcast. I am Cassandra, your organic beauty, positive mind management, and biofeedback practitioner. Now, in an age of stress, overwhelm, and absolute distraction, it's time to take control and for all of us women to absolutely go deeper. Because we're surrounded by stressors that steal our time, our energy, youth, wealth, and our health. Now, everything from endocrine disruptors to hidden chemicals, EMFs to negative thought patterns impact us to a tremendous degree. And these stressors eventually add up and accelerate aging, cognitive decline, and increase our risk of disease. Now, it's no wonder that 2% of women that are surveyed are really happy with how they feel and how they look when it's pertaining to their health and beauty. And you know, it's just the way it is, right? And the signs of aging from awful hot flashes and menopause or weight gain, persistent weight gain is just normal, right? Maybe not. And every system in your body is affected by hormones. Our hormone matrix is extremely complex, which is why having a complete picture of just what's going on with them is the key to understanding how our health is, and how well we are aging. And it's an absolute honor to have Dr. Carrie Jones join us so we can shine a very, very bright light on understanding how both internal and external stressors affect every transition of our hormonal pathway, which then affects our mood. It also affects our vital hair growth, clear skin, sleep, mood, and so much more. We'll also address how to test and not guess with the most comprehensive hormone test on the market today. Now, a little bit about Dr. Carrie. Dr. Carrie Jones is an internationally recognized speaker, consultant, and educator on the topic of women's health and hormones. Her education is vast, ranging from the National University of Natural Medicine to the School of Naturopathic Medicine in Portland, Oregon, where she also completed her 2-year residency in women's health, hormones, and endocrinology. Dr. Carrie Jones is now the medical director of Precision Analytical, the creator of Dutch Test. Dr. Carrie is driving force in this movement to understanding the complicated health issues of all sorts and the relation specifically to hormones. So, Harry, I have told you, I have absolutely followed you and begged you down to get onto the podcast. So thank you so much for joining us today on the Awaken Beauty Podcast. How are you?
Oh my gosh. And we did it. We finally, we've been talking back and forth for months.
Absolutely.
Here we are, recording live. I love it.
Yeah. So this is such a huge conversation. And, you know, we could probably mark down 3 hours and probably do 5 episodes, but just kind of really wanted to set the baseline on hormonal health because it's a big land of confusion. There's also a lot of fear around it for women, especially when we talk about estrogen or breast cancer, or how to test and all of these complex things, you know, and you have a really good foundation in functional medicine. And in my life really truly changed. And I haven't told you this, but I was going to go back to school for functional medicine. And I don't know if you know Dr. Rob Rakowski.
No, I don't.
Okay. Dr. Rob is, you know, he's a high educator in, you know, in the functional medicine world. And I remember sitting in a course with him and talking about actually his vaccinations, which really didn't have anything to do with the beauty industry. And I was his hairstylist at the time. And it changed, absolutely changed my career where I thought, there's no way I can still go down this path of having a salon and putting all of these chemicals and smelling them and being in them every day, both for myself, understanding how this hormonal cascade would at some point in time really harm women, the more complex, you know, our environment got. So we can talk about aging and chemicals and endocrine disruptors, but I think that it's best to start with the foundation. And tell us a little bit more about you first and foremost, with saying that how youthful you look, and you've been doing this for 20 years. You got in it when you're 20 years old.
Yeah.
And like, what made you fall in love with hormones?
Oh my gosh. I've known since I was a little girl that I wanted to go into women's health and hormones. And I thought I wanted to do like the OBGYN deliver babies route. But ultimately I just found it really resonated with me because I really wanted to just teach women about their own body. And I realized there was a big gap, especially in my friends. You know, I was 22 when I first started in the functional medicine realm. I started working for the naturopathic medical school. And I thought, man, so many of my girlfriends don't know this. I didn't know this. You know, I wasn't taught these things. And I really wanted to be that voice to really just help educate. And I went through school and did my residency in women's health and hormones and 2 big practices here in Portland before I switched over to working for the hormone lab. Mm-hmm. And I just loved what I did. I loved all the women that I got to work with and that I got to see every day and their stories. I love the stories that I got mm-hmm. to hear. And I think that just every day it was always wonderful. Like every day I wake up and I'm so grateful to do what I do in the field that I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. And how long have you been with the Dutch test?
So I've been with them since they started in June of 2012. And we cannot remember entirely, but I think I started working for them actually for free in like December 2012 or January 2013. So much from the beginning, I was doing consult work for them. They were a brand new startup company and they had approached my clinic about using them as a hormone test. And I knew the owner and I was like, yeah, this sounds great. Let's go ahead and try the testing. And by the way, do you need help? And he said, yeah, but we're a startup. Can you just help with consulting? And so that's where I started way back when, and then gradually became their medical director.
Yeah. And you do an excellent job. You know, anybody that does not follow your Instagram channel, like don't even know, you don't have to go to the website. You just go to her website channel, Dr. Carrie Jones, and she has an IGTV bank. Just you will sit there and binge all day.
Thankfully, IGTV, which is what I love, are short. I can't talk longer than 10, right. 15 minutes. And so it's not like I just go on and on and on and people lose interest. It's like get in, get out and get the education. That's what I love about them.
So impactful about you is that, you know, I've had Dr. Lindsay Bergson on the show and Dr. Felice Gersh on the show. And, you know, everybody just has their unique specificity of niche, you know, and I think testing is something that is absolutely fundamental and really missed and very confusing for women. I got far enough going into school that I was able to do a lot of testing with the ZRT test, which is, you know, mostly going to be saliva. And I myself found it hard to get spit out of my mouth 4 times a day.
Right.
I have to sit there and really concentrate on producing saliva because I talk all day, so I never have any saliva. First and foremost, we're going to dive right in as far as, you know, the kind of testing, and then we can kind of move into some of these intricacies on how complex a woman's body is and what we really need to be paying attention to right now in the land of stress zones that everybody is in right now, especially with coronavirus. So we have blood and saliva, and I think most women have probably experienced this, whether they've gone to the regular OBG or they are done a ZRT test from a naturopathic, you know, practitioner or what have you. So why don't you go ahead and frame up what we are able to capture with those two tests and what is specifically different with the Dutch hormone test?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're going to your primary care doctor and you're like, I feel hormonal, can you test my hormones? Oftentimes, like you said, they draw blood and they'll run maybe an estrogen, estradiol, progesterone. You'll say something like either I have acne or I'm losing hair or I have no libido. So they'll run a testosterone. And what they're getting is your hormone in that moment. They're just getting in the moment what's in circulation, which is a great start. Same for saliva. When you do saliva testing, if you've done, you know, ZRT or any of the other companies, you're doing in that moment what your estrogen or progesterone, testosterone, DHEA is. Great. But what's different about the Dutch test is that we can tell you then where your hormone is going. So let's say you are experiencing hair loss and you go and get a blood test and your testosterone's normal. It's not elevated. It's completely normal. And you're like, well, I don't understand. I'm having hair loss. I'm having male pattern baldness is what they call it, but I'm a girl. I don't know why. When you run a Dutch test, we actually go deeper. And so we can tell you where your testosterone's going. And there's an actual pathway that increases your risk for hair loss, male pattern baldness, both in men and women. But they don't often test that in blood testing, and you can't get it in saliva testing. And so with Dutch, we just uncover that extra layer. The same goes for estrogen. You feel like you have a lot of PMS, you have heavy periods, you have endometriosis, you feel very moody, you get migraines, and you're thinking it's hormonal. So you go get your blood tested and they say, oh, nope, everything's fine. You're fine. You're totally normal. And then you do a Dutch test. And because we get these extra added pathways with it, I can tell you what your estrogens are doing as they move through two of the phases of detoxification. So I can really help pinpoint for women like, oh, you know what? You're having PMS and you're having heavy periods because of this marker right here. It seems this pathway is upregulated. Let's do something about it and try to help you be less symptomatic and address the cause. So it's a really nice test to give you just that much more information that you're missing out of saliva or serum testing.
All right, ladies, if you're looking for healthy hair, beautiful skin, and a calm, quiet, clean, collected, powerful mind with superior CBD, go to evokebeauty.com. That's evokbeauty.com. And you'll receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's evokbeauty.com. Use the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order. Yeah, and you speak about there is a specific pathway, you know, hormones are traveling upstream, downstream, and when they have to move through the liver, and which then pushes out into the kidneys. And so we're able to kind of get this output where we're really able to determine the pathways. And we can go a little bit deeper into that a little bit later about the 2, 4, and 16 hydroxy. But I just kind of want to frame up, you know, how important it really is. And I know so many women, and you know this, and most women know this, that they hear that I'm normal when you go to the doctor. Well, there's this really complex things where in the medical world today that we have in the US, we really rely on our hormone or our insurance to get our hormone test. And so many women spend so much money and frustration and go down all these rabbit holes and get so much more confused because they're trying to go and capture like what they can get with their insurance pay for. And then they'll try and bring it to a naturopath or a functional med doc and just say, well, I've already tested it. Like, what can we figure out with this? Mm-hmm. And to what you just explained, capturing time and just a moment in time really isn't going to give us your full story. And so it's really, really important, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, when we're talking about epigenetics with H2 and the SNPs and all the fear about breast cancer and all of these things gives us the lay of the land. Also, maybe you can speak a little bit more about even cortisol, how we can really capture the cortisol within the Dutch test as well.
Yeah, everyone's talking about cortisol in relation to stress or belly weight gain, right? Or they can't sleep, they're tired in the morning, or maybe they have anxiety in the morning. And all of that can be related around cortisol. So with cortisol, it follows a pattern in your day. It's supposed to be elevated in the morning, that's normal, and then gradually falls through the day until it's nice and low so your melatonin can come out. So your cortisol is like the sun and your melatonin is like the moon. Yep. So when it comes to testing though, nobody wants to get their blood drawn. Nobody has the time to go to a lab to get their blood drawn 4 or 5 times during the day, you know, spread throughout to get a pattern. The other problem is in blood testing, you're only getting one big bulk number. You're not getting what's actually free and available when it comes to your cortisol. And it's the free hormone that's literally free. It's free to bind. It's free to do things in the body. It turns things on. It turns things off, which is great. Now in saliva, that's where saliva became so popular because you could literally spit in a tube at home or at your office 4 times in the day, and then you'll get your cortisol pattern through the day. But as you pointed out, it can be really challenging for a lot of people who have dry mouth to sit there and spit into a tube and fill it up 4 times in the day. It might actually take 15 or 30 minutes to do so. Mm-hmm. Then came urine testing, which is the benefit of the Dutch test, is that not only is it easy, it's Dutch stands for dried urine test for comprehensive hormones. So it's a urine test. You just pee on these pieces of filter paper. It's kind of like a pregnancy test. And it's really easy to do 4 times in the day. But the bonus is not only do we give you the cortisol pattern, but we actually give you some more extra information like melatonin. And we give you cortisone, which is the inactive form of cortisol. So maybe some people are tired, not because they don't make it, but because they deactivated all. We give you a marker called metabolized cortisol, tells you roughly how much cortisol you're making in total. So we just give you, because it's urine testing, we give you just a little extra information that's really, really helpful when you're trying to figure out, why am I tired? Or why can't I sleep? Or why can't I lose weight? Or why am I losing hair? You know, why am I stressed out? And it just gives you that much more, and it's easy to collect.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I have this chart that I share with some of my clients, and it literally is like, it kind of looks like a gauge in the front of your car instead of a speedometer. It really displays how we need stress in our life. And so we've got, you know, the low to the normal to the high. And I think we can really easily, you know, tag adrenal fatigue because it's like this hot term, and really what is adrenal fatigue? And then I'm really tired all the time. And so everybody thinks that they have adrenal fatigue, but it's very much more complex than that. So I kind of want to create the visual for individuals of when we're testing cortisol and then cortisone within the test and how you can kind of extrapolate, you know, kind of where people are at in that journey as far as fatigue. Far left, you know, just being low, depressed, can't get out of bed, to normal, you know, to high, wired and fired up, and, you know, just this high state. So maybe you can kind of explain a little bit about the process the body goes through when it ends up at that low and fatigued and just absolutely done, and what stage that's at.
Yeah. So the body gets all of its information about stress and the stress response, and it sends it to the brain. And then the brain tells the adrenal glands, hey, make cortisol. Like there's stress going on, or there's, you know, inside the body or outside the body, there's infection, there's inflammation, there's blood sugar issues. She's dehydrated. You know, she's watching the news. It could be all sorts of things, right? That trigger this response. So the body will produce a lot of cortisol at the direction of the brain. And so we get this high cortisol production that occurs and is what makes us feel wired, anxious, you know, having insomnia, what have you. It changes our skin, it changes our hair, mm-hmm. it changes our waist size, all the stuff. But there's a feedback loop. And so the feedback loop is over time, when you live in a high stress state or have a lot of infection, inflammation, all these things coming at you, the brain gets the signal, like this is too much cortisol, so then it dials it down. Mm-hmm. So now instead of making all this extra cortisol, it barely puts it out at all. And so now on your chart, you fall into the low end because the brain is like, "Ooh, this is too much. Girl, this is too much." Mm-mm, and pushes it down. And so then we go from a wired state to a tired, depleted state because the brain is trying to protect us. Mm-hmm. Now, there are things that can suppress our cortisol. Steroids are a good example. Now, I do mean like the illegal steroids for sure. But think about this time of year or springtime for a lot of people. They're on steroid nasal sprays, right? Yep. They're on steroid inhalers this time of year. they're outside in the garden and they get a rash. And so they're using steroid topical creams because of the rash they developed.
And so many women have eczema or
exactly,
you know, those are always on their steroid creams.
Yep.
They correlate it with that.
Right, because they're thinking, oh, I just use a tiny amount. I just use a little bit for my hand or my arm or that spot on my belly. Like, I just use a little bit, but you use it every day.
Right.
Use your nasal spray every day. Use your inhaler before you exercise, you know, several times a week, every day. And over time, that can also, the steroids themselves, the category of medication steroid, will suppress cortisol production. And mm-hmm. so you can actually accidentally suppress your own cortisol. And then now you're again in that low, depleted, you know, depressed, unmotivated type state because you don't have the cortisol that you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, topple on top of that, you know, our addiction in this nation to dopamine, you know, and so we're always then trying to go and pile on it. And it just kind of sinks us deeper and deeper and deeper because we're getting those quick hits. I mean, that could be from coffee. It could be from, I don't know, Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, it's anything, shopping, over-exercising. I mean, you name it. But, you know, then we're constantly on this hunt of how can we feel better, you know, which then turns into an emotional and then a psycho-emotional issue. And then, you know, our relationship with our emotions and all of those pieces kind of come into play. So it really is a downward spiral. So I really like with the Dutch test that you can really clearly define, you know, kind of where in that sphere you really are and what's being suppressed and where that's at. So I think that's a really valuable piece.
Yeah. Yeah. The other nice thing about Dutch too is that we can pick up on patterns. We do not test thyroid. Thyroid hormones should really only be tested in blood. But some of the adrenal patterns will hint that she has a thyroid problem. And we pick it up all the time, enough that we have more people who were like, oh, I didn't think I had a thyroid problem. And because of the Dutch results, I went and got a blood test for thyroid. It turns out I have a thyroid problem. Or maybe they're on thyroid medication and it's not enough, you know? And so we tend to see these patterns as well that can give just more information to women who are really struggling.
Yeah, let's halt there for a second. So, you know, just like everybody thinks they have adrenal fatigue because we're tired, everybody has a thyroid issue, you know, specifically in my chair. I mean, there's such an epidemic of hair loss. I cannot even tell you. And I specialize in hair loss you know, everybody thinks they have a thyroid issue, which could be many things, low grade infection, et cetera, et cetera. But, what happens within the blood test with a thyroid? Is that because we're able to capture the T3, T4, the conversion just in the blood and we can't do that in the urine because it's more of a metabolic issue?
So there is a company that is looking, I believe, at T3, and I forget what other marker, but the gold standard is in the blood. Because like we run, just like you said, so TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, we run T4 and T3. We run the antibodies to make sure see if you have Hashimoto's or Graves. And so everything is predominantly just done in the blood.
Yep. Okay.
And not in the urine.
Good. That's great. It's just good for women to know. That's why it's important to have a professional run the right tests at the right times for specifically putting these puzzle pieces together because it can be very complex and your age and all of that. One question I had, and it kind of brought it up when you said, you know, relating to the cortisone and cortisol is, you know, there's this surge of information from retroviruses, you know, our friends over at Cellcore Biosciences, I do a lot of detoxing with my clients with their protocols. And it really has shined a light for me on how many people have these low-grade viruses or persistent parasites that keep the immune system down, that keep our bodies down. And it has also a direct correlation with our hormones, specifically with the microbiome and blood-brain barrier and kind of how that all gets mixed into it. Could you speak a little bit about hormones, infection, low-grade infection, mold, parasites, kind of how that plays into the hormone story?
So if you think about it, if you are constantly, well, let me back up. So you mentioned Dr. Felice Gersh earlier, and Dr. Gersh had said at a conference, and I love this, the primary importance for women is reproduction. Mm-hmm. Whether you want to reproduce or not, that's not what she's saying. But what she's saying is what's going to be protected the most in the female body is reproduction.
Yep.
So if you are constantly low grade or high grade fighting an infection, a virus, a parasite, something, if inflammation, if you're routinely eating something you know you shouldn't be, but you can't resist, you know, like dairy or gluten, that's constantly setting off your immune system, then you're going to be sending resources to that and potentially letting the brain know, like, hey, we have an infection happening. And the brain will decrease the pulses that it sends to the ovaries. Therefore, it can be affecting the way that you make hormones like progesterone and estrogen. And of course, it's going to affect cortisol over time. Whereas initially in your infection, their cortisol was higher to help you combat the infection and deal with the inflammation. And then over time, though, it is exhausting to the entire HPA system, your hypothalamic pituitary adrenal system, and the brain starts to decrease the cortisol production, and you get sort of a cortisol, like a numbing at some of these tissues. It's kind of like when your kid is trying to get your attention and they're calling your name over and over and over again, and you just tune them out. You're just like, I can't handle this right now. Like after a while, when cortisol is constantly binding to receptors in some of these tissues, the same thing can happen. The receptors just sort of suck themselves into the cell and they're like, I'm not listening. La, 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 I'm not listening.
Yeah.
And so cortisol can't help. And so these chronic low-grade infections are very prominent, prevalent, and can be really serious for a lot of people. It's amazing, the outcomes.
Yeah, it's very hidden. I mean, it's very, very, very hidden. And, you know, I always tell my clients, you know, it's very hard to deal with a hormone issue when your body is constantly under attack with these low-grade infections, you know, whatever that may be coming from. And, you know, how many people work in offices that are filled with mold or schools that are filled with mold, and your livelihood is dependent on it. You have to go to work. My previous salon, I moved out into this beautiful space because I directly was affected by mold and black mold for 4 years. I lived above the salon and then downstairs in the salon. My whole body shut down. I lost all my iron depletion and I had, you know, nothing left. And I was doing everything I could. I was detoxing, I was saunaing and all of that. But unless you remove the stressor, the body cannot heal or start to bring in kind of what you're saying with HPA, the pulsing of the hormones. It can't get back into production unless that is fully removed. And so I find that there's things like the Dutch test and finding a good practitioner is to kind of get your baseline and make sure those aren't pieces of the puzzle that are inhibiting you from becoming your best self and best health, really. So thank you for sharing that. I think that's just really something that is really, the retroviruses are really becoming well known today. And then add in 5G and the electromagnetic smog, you know, do you maybe want to say a little bit about, you know, the bioenergetics and how that affects our hormones?
Yeah, with the 5G, obviously, I think a lot more is going to come out with this. Mm-hmm. But even when you just look at the animal studies of 5G, the effect of cell phone use in EMF with rat in particular, it affects especially their cortisol, right? It affects their hormone production. Yeah. There's studies that when you have a cell phone and you're holding it up to your ear, they'll use cow brains, and it will heat up that side of the cow brain. I mean, the cell phone company itself has right in their package insert not to hold your cell phone up against your ear. You're supposed to keep some distance because even they know that it can be a really big problem.
For men and testes.
Oh my God.
I mean, carrying it in your pocket. I mean, you're just zapping your sperm. Goodbye.
100%. When they're like resting their computers, one, the heat, but two, even most, you know, when they're on the internet and, you know, they're getting all that pinging coupled with the heat, like who knows what it's doing. And so many people sleep with their phone next to them, next to their head, because it's their alarm clock in the morning. It's the last thing they look at and the first thing they grab in the morning. So I'm always like, turn it into airplane mode, like off the Wi-Fi, or even just turn your Wi-Fi off in your house.
Yep.
Get a timer and then turn it back on again, because it can really impact, you know, our sleep patterns, our circadian mm-hmm. patterns, our hormone patterns, and it's a huge problem.
Yeah, we're recording this because we're hanging out. I'm not in my pajamas, but you may be. But you're not. You look so beautiful. You always do.
I have yoga pants on. Not yet pajamas, but I do have yoga pants on.
I just ordered the Faraday, the black bag, you know, and so, you know, Sauna Space has the Faraday sauna, and right. then they have these black bags, and, you know, the coronavirus, obviously there's all these news sites, and I am a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. And so I ordered the bag because, you know, if I'm going to be driving around, I don't want that, you know, I don't want people following me. Not only at night do I want to put I do biofeedback through my phone at night. And so I can still do that, but I want to take out the emittance of the 5G from the phone. So there are tools out there to help us now. I know Dr. Mercola has, you know, basically said my second half or my third half or 16th half of my end of my career will be donated to 5G.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a big issue, and
it's a huge issue. So much so that the rapper Snoop,
yes, Snoop
he posted on Instagram today on his story. I mean, no, on IGTV, and he was like, "I keep getting asked if what's going on is due to 5G." He goes, "I don't know about I don't know much about 5G." He goes, "I have 4G. Should I upgrade? Like, tell me." That's what he posted today on Instagram, and all these people just flooded him with like, "Don't do it. It's amazing." Even Snoop is getting, like, you wouldn't think, but yay, Snoop.
Yeah, we just walk around life thinking that, you know, they're doing the best to protect us. Not so much.
No, not even a little bit, unfortunately.
You know, which brings up an interesting piece, because obviously blue light, you know, at night, and, you know, we also talk about circadian rhythms and how that impacts the hormones. You know, I've followed the sleep doctor for quite a while, and I've tested like my chronobiological sleep patterns. And I'm definitely like a tiger where I can sleep all night and then I'm up in the morning. Melatonin is obviously really important. Is there a risk for individuals to continue to take melatonin at night just to try to help them sleep better long-term?
For taking melatonin long-term? You know, I go back and forth. I don't think there's a risk. I used to think like we should do all that we can to get our pineal gland to make our own melatonin, right? We should cut out the blue light, because so in our eyes we have melanopsin in our retina that detect the blue green shade that comes at us, and that blue green shade will shut down melatonin. So when you wake up in the morning and you get full spectrum light, a majority of it is in the blue green shade, and so believe it or not, and so our melatonin production goes down, which is normal. We're supposed to get out of bed, not go to bed in the morning. And at night, though, when we're on our tablets and our phones and our computers, we're getting that emittance of the blue-green shade. And so in a lot of people who are sensitive, the retina registers that as a daytime light, shuts down melatonin, but melatonin is supposed to be out at night. So I go back and forth between, should we stay on melatonin because so many people are unhealthy, you know,
right.
Or we know that in some cases, the pineal gland can calcify. So it's not even making melatonin in the first place. There are people who have mutations in the SNPs that make melatonin. And so given the antioxidant effect of melatonin, I'm definitely leaning more towards taking melatonin, you know, if you need it. Now, what's different though is a lot of people believe melatonin should be really high dose. My understanding is the physiologic output of melatonin is only like 0.3 milligrams. We're taking 1 milligram, 3 milligrams, 5 milligrams, delayed release, slow release, all this stuff, when really the physiologic amount is much, much lower. So I do tend to recommend low doses, under a milligram of melatonin when I'm using it and recommending it for people. But yeah, the research is more compelling to me, more and more and more, the importance of melatonin.
Yeah. Dr. Lindsay Berkson, she just put out a piece on COVID, and she's followed a lot of the research with melatonin and how it protects from cancer and all of these things. So the research is really compelling, and it is kind of all over the board. I do agree probably doing the lower. The science that she found with Corona is that actually high doses of melatonin, 20 milligrams, will help protect the receptor sites and shut down, you know, kind of the advancement of the coronavirus, which is found is really interesting. I've had great success with melatonin, but I do a concoction of progesterone and other things. But yeah, definitely, I think something to talk to your medical professional about and what's appropriate for you and how to cycle that. For you, listeners of Awaken Beauty podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Simply go to www.audibletrial.com/awakenbeautypodcast. That's www.audibletrial.com/awakenbeautypodcast. Maybe we can get into the car and go through the cortisone awakening response. Because for me personally, like even with my chronotype, I can go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and I can wake up at 6:30 or 7 or 7:30 and I'm wide awake. Like once the light hits my eyes, like I'm good. Like I've never in my life had that response of like, oh, I'm so tired, I want to go back to bed. And that's probably just like, I'm an overdriver, so that's just part of my makeup.
Right.
But maybe you can explain a little bit about, you know, how do recognize if you have this issue?
So the cortisol awakening response is the immediate rise in cortisol that happens when you open your eyes in the morning and light comes in. It's a natural response. Every human should have it. And the point of it is several. It's to reduce inflammation. It's to reduce infection. It's to reduce your pain levels. It's to manage your blood sugar because you've been fasting all night long. It's to give you alertness to get your butt out of bed and get you going for the day. So it rises very quickly in about 30 minutes to a peak, and then it gradually falls through the rest of the day. So the cortisol awakening response tells me a lot as a doctor about your health. So when I ask people, how long does it take you to go from like, just I'm conscious to I'm alert in the morning? Because it should on average take about 20 to 30 minutes. That's how fast the awakening response is. But if you say to me, well, it takes me about 2 hours and two cups of coffee, I know that you have a very slow, sluggish, dysfunctional awakening response. But if you're the opposite, if you're like, oh my gosh, I wake up in panic attacks, I wake up with anxiety, I wake up just hypervigilant and on edge, like then I know you have a very overreactive, a very, very stimulated awakening response. Right. And so what you have is considered normal, right? Like you're to wake up and within 20 to 30 minutes, you should be ready to go. Mm-hmm. Like you should feel like this is fine. I can do this. I'm ready to tackle my day. That's considered normal. And so when I ask that question, so many people are like, oh, wow, it takes me a long time to get ready in the morning. You know, I get there eventually, but I'm pretty tired, or I'll get out of bed, but I'm not really coherent for a good solid hour or two.
Yeah, I have some clients that will tell me that they'll get up at like 4:30 in the morning because it takes them that long to like wake up to their day and get ready. And it's like, it's such a backwards thing, because not only are you disturbing, you know, let's first talk about REM. Like we have a very, very short time during the night we can capture REM. And a lot of that is in the morning hour.
Yeah.
So we're like alerting yourself when it's not even light out yet. And then you're like hijacking your sleep because you take so long to wake up. It's, you know, I have such empathy for women that are trying to handle so much in their life and just trying to get up in the morning is like the first tackle of the day is, you know, it goes back to that pedometer, you know, like where are you at in the pedometer? And we want that stress level to be kind of like, here in the middle, you know, it's going to waver, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's just another, so let's talk about, you know, the lifestyle clues. You know, women are very in tune with their body. And these are the different clues, again, to go back to, okay, why I need to pay attention to that. Like, that's not normal. So I wanted to bring that up.
Sleep is a big one. So when women are like, it takes me a while to get ready in the morning. Sleep, I always go back to sleep because that's what sets the circadian rhythm. So, and then sleeping in complete darkness. So any light that you have in your bedroom, whether it's from electronics, whether it's from a nightlight, whether it's from the neighbor's light next door coming in your window, all of that will actually, believe it or not, in a sensitive enough person, disrupt your circadian rhythm. So you want to sleep in complete darkness. Wear a sleep mask if you have to. Then you want to evaluate like who's in your room, what's in your room, what's keeping you up at night. Is it mold in your room? Is it dust in your room? Is it too hot in your room? Is your partner snoring or has restless leg? Do you co-sleep and your kids are constantly waking you up? Is your animal in bed with you? And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I don't have a supplement that can fix that. You know, if your partner snores and your kids are constantly kicking you, you're going to have a bad night's sleep, no matter what supplement I give you. So you're going to either have to work on sleep habits or you're going to have to leave and go into the guest room or, you know, remove yourself from the situation because you're just, unfortunately, you're never going to get that healthy morning. People hate when I say that. They're like, well, but I co-sleep. I'm like, I get it. So either co-sleep and work on your child's co-sleep behaviors, or, you know, you're never going to improve until this improves. Like I don't have a supplement that can combat a 2-year-old who continues to kick you through the night. Like I don't have a supplement for that.
Dr. Felice Gersh is just high on this right now. She is so adamant about sleep and resetting your sleep patterns, and that especially with infertility, she's saying, I found that once I can regulate somebody's circadian rhythms, infertility and menopause and, you know, hormonal issues, they just go away.
So I've been lecturing a long time about this, that when you reset the circadian rhythm, you reset all rhythms. You reset your reproductive rhythm. You reset your feeding and hunger rhythm when you're hungry and when you're not. And so it starts with the circadian. So in the brain, in the hypothalamus, you have the master circadian rhythm. The master clock is what they call it. Right. And it's entrained every day to light and it's reset every day to darkness. And if you don't follow that distinct schedule, light in the morning, complete darkness at night, then you're going to struggle. And I know it sounds so woo-woo and so like, Carrie, that sounds too easy. There's no way. And I'm like, they won the Nobel Peace Prize for this.
Yeah.
They won the Nobel Peace Prize for this.
Yeah.
Because it's that critical to human longevity, aging, and chronic disease.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah. we are organisms that are living with organic things around us, meaning we live in nature. And we're so disconnected from nature that we think we can just like manipulate our lives however we want, but we are actually supposed to rise and fall with nature. That's just how we're made. And so I think that's a really, really great point around the circadian rhythm and how important that is. And, you know, especially right now where all of us are kind of like staying at home, I'm really taking hold of that. Like I'm getting outside in the morning, I'm going on walks twice a day, I'm connecting with earth, and it's really rejuvenating. Like I feel like, even though the world is freaking out, I don't listen to the news or anything like that other than my conspiracy theorist stuff. And, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm in the calm of the storm. Mm-hmm. Like I feel so, like so tempered and reaching out to people and having tons of great conversations like you. And it's so rejuvenating actually. And so it really makes a difference. And I talked to Samina Health, Klaus is his name, and you might want to look into this, but JJ Virgin and Mercola all recommend this bed. And going back to the 5G, you know, when we're sleeping at night, we have these 5G or metal springs, things like that in our bed. It's actually like zapping your energy at night. And it's zapping your ability to also reset with the lymphatic in the brain and detox correctly and heat regulation and all of that. So also pay an attention to the bed, considering we spend so much of our life in bed. So thank you for those tips. As far as, hate to break it to you, but you have to find a bedroom.
You really do. And in the morning, get light, just like you said, right? That circadian rhythm entrains to light. It gets so, when you wake up in the morning, even if it's dark outside, then you need to be looking at getting a full spectrum light box or getting the full spectrum alarm clock. I know I have friends that have bought the alarm clock that gradually wakes you up to light. And they said it's made over a couple weeks, it's made a world of difference for them. I have a light box in the morning that I turn on if it's I live in the Northwest, Pacific Northwest. And so it's, you know, in the winter, it's gloomy and it's rainy and it's dark. And mine's on my kitchen counter and I turn it on when I come down in the morning to make my tea and have it on for a good solid 15, 20, 30 minutes.
That's awesome.
And then when it's nice out, then I'm outside with my dog, you know, for a couple minutes first thing, because I know the difference it makes.
That's so awesome. I kind of want to just like break away, and I don't want to end the conversation without kind of talking about just the importance of the Dutch test, and where I really see it shine is looking over the 2-4-16 hydroxy pathways. And so that we can really get clear, you know, there's a lot of, like I said, fear around topicals and estrogen and how we should take estrogen and progesterone. And we really have to understand how we're metabolizing our hormones. Right. And so Dutch does such a service to women on being able to show those pathways and how they shift over time. And let me tell you, women, you are never too young to get a baseline of your hormones. And the younger that you do, the more advantage you'll have. Because when you get to my age, you know, 40, and then you're getting older, you're like, God damn it, why didn't I start this earlier? Because you could have, you know, especially for women that want to have kids, you know, get a snapshot of what your hormones look like when they're regular, if they are regular in your 20s, and then track that. So talk a little bit about the 2-4-16 pathways and how we can look at that prospectively and relate that back to our hormone health.
Yeah, absolutely. So estrogen goes through three phases of detoxification. So and always equate it to the analogy of a clawfoot bathtub. So the phase one is the water coming into your bathtub. The phase two is the drain of your bathtub. And phase three is the sewer line out of your house. So in your body, it's phase one in the liver, phase two in the liver, and then out to your intestines. And of course, out when you poop it out. So phase one is where you're an estrogen, and then you go through phase one and you have three options. You can become a 2-OH, which is known as hydroxy, 4-OH, or 16-OH. And the 2-hydroxy is the less carcinogenic. That's the pathway that we want to head down in our three phases. The 4-hydroxy is considered more carcinogenic. So we want to minimize that pathway as much as possible. The 16 pathway, the 16-hydroxy, is considered proliferative. So it's good for bones, but it's really estrogenic. So it can cause PMS and heavy periods and clots and fibroids and worsen endometriosis and make tender, heavy breasts, and it can make breast cancer grow if you have it. So we have to be careful with the 16 pathway.
So with the 16 pathway, I'm sorry to interrupt you because I have a question. Bad for breasts, good for bones. Is it because it's like producing osteoclasts and producing more bone production, or why is it good for bone?
Supportive and stimulating because of the estrogenic activity in it. We know estrogen's good for bones because of the estrogen activity in it. It binds to the estrogen receptors in the bone. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So with that, for women, what I say is that we want to support, we want to favor that two pathway. Now, I will warn you, I talk about it as phase 1, 2, 3, but we always, always, always address it as 3, 2, 1. Mm. It's just like in my clawfoot bathtub analogy, you want the sewer line open, then you want the drain open, then you want the water pure, right? So it's the same thing. You want your gut health dialed in, you want your what you're eating, you're going to be pooping every day, you want lots of fiber, lots of greens, right? Lots of colorful vegetables. And then you want to make sure that you're the drain is known as COMT or COMT. Mm-hmm. That's a SNP, a gene that makes an enzyme. And that's a neutralizer. And then we focus on phase 1.
Yeah.
So what you and I were talking about beforehand is a lot of women will just start DIM or indole-3-carbinol, right? DIM is diindolemethane. It's a supplement. It comes from the brassica family, the broccoli, kale, cauliflower family. And it does push the healthier or less carcinogenic, I would say, two pathway. But the problem is I have had more and more women write me because I've been educating about this for a long time now. And they're like, gosh, I took DIM and I got worse. Mm-hmm. Why did I get worse? I thought it affects estrogen. I'm like, it does, but it only affects phase 1. And if you have a 2 problem and a 3 problem, then your water's going to overflow in your bathtub and you're just going to have a lot of issues. You have to address the gut and you have to address COMT, and then you can add in the DIM.
Yeah. But so what you're saying is make sure the drain's open.
Yeah.
So that when you go and address the 1 and 2, wherever it's getting clogged or not getting down the right pathway, the very focus here is that if the drain's not open, it's just going to, just like a retox, it's just going to metabolize into the body and add more to your estrogen load and increase your irritability, your anger, your sleep issues, your hot flashes, whatever that is. It could be a pathway issue. And Dr. Carey, have these. So, this is what I'll give a lot to clients. So you've got your calcium deglucrate IC3. So these are, the two that she's talking to. A lot of women will just go grab because they're like, oh, well, everyone, and I'm kind of in this boat. Well, everyone's estrogen dominant because we have so many endocrine disruptors. We're always being flooded by estrogen. Yeah, maybe true, but how is your body, dealing with it? And then you have a product like this, which is like a hormone balance this is from Nutdyne. This is their newest product that has like a compilation of IC and DIM and the broccoli sprouts and all that in it. Yeah. So would you say something like this would be a little bit more of like a holistic everything or?
Yeah, it covers all through 3 phases. Then that's definitely, for the average woman who's like, I don't know, I have no idea what's going on. I just feel like I'm estrogenic. Then something like that can be helpful because you'll address all 3 phases at once and help clear it out the bottom or out the body. But if you are testing, right, our ideal goal is to test, don't guess, don't waste money,
right,
and then get side effects or feel worse. We don't want that.
Right.
But when you're testing, then you'll know pinpoint, like, oh, look at me, I go down the 4 pathway. That's not good. We need to go on DIM. Or oh wow, look at me, my COMT is slow, my drain is closed. So let's use things to open the drain, like magnesium, like zinc, like methyl B12, like SAMe. There's all these things, cofactors that help COMT, right? Like, oh, look at me, you do a stool test and you find you have candida. You find you have parasites.
Yep.
You find, or like you only have a bowel movement every 1, 2, or 3 days.
Not good.
So once a week, not good at all. Your estrogen is just going to recirculate. And no matter how much broccoli you eat or how much DIM you take, if you can't get it out your sewer line, it's just like you said, it's going to recirculate and reabsorb.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's binding the receptors and turning them on, and you don't want that.
So to what she's saying, cruciferous family, lifestyle gals, like broccoli as much as you, I have broccoli or cauliflower at least twice a day with, you know, sweet potatoes, just all those pieces to really support the hormones. And, you know, it's kind of like detox, and you want to go in and you kind of want to scrub and you want to bind and you kind of want to bind to these and pull them out. So you see a lot of protocols or detoxes, like you're trying to push stuff with water or what have you, but you really have to understand that there's like a water phase and a fat phase and all of these different phases to really bind to those and pull those out. So, you know, to what Carrie's saying is that, you know, something like this that has what she's saying is, you know, it has the grapeseed, the DIM, the broccoli, the ECGC, the, you know, D-glucuronate, all of those pieces in there to support you more holistically than trying to go and fire and aim with this and then just pushing stuff more in a pathway that it shouldn't be in and getting stuck and re-inoculating. So I just wanted to point that out because we do live in a DIY world.
We really do. And the individuals are great. So if somebody's listening and they're like, well, they did a Dutch test with you and you were like, look, yep, absolutely. Your phase one looks great, but your phase two is stuck. It's going to be a one product or maybe a two, you know, it's going to be very pinpoint for you, very personalized. And in that case, it's great because you know exactly what you need when you test.
All right, ladies, if you're looking for natural, organic, solution-based beauty and superior CBD, go to evokebeauty.com, that's evokebeauty.com, and receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's evokebeauty.com. Type in the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order. About calcium deglucurate and how it kind of unties the box and kind of, I think your explanation on that is great.
Great analogy. So when estrogen is coming into the intestines, it's bound up. And so my analogy is it's in a box with a lid on it and a bow. There is an enzyme called beta-glucuronidase, and beta-glucuronidase is important. We need it for a lot of things, but when it gets really elevated, what it does is it unties the bow and opens the lid of your box, and that allows estrogen to fly free. And when estrogen flies free, it just gets reabsorbed, it binds to receptors and turn them on. We don't want that. So when you take the product, the supplement, calcium deglucurate, CDG, it keeps the bow and the lid on the box so you can properly poop out your estrogen in a healthy manner. Now, calcium deglucurate does not lower that enzyme. It does not solve the problem of the enzyme, but it does stop the enzyme from doing the naughty work. You still have to address the microbiome. You still have to be having regular bowel movements. You still have to address gut bugs, good bugs, bad bugs, candida, parasites, all inflammation, all those things you still have to address to get to the root cause. But it's a really great product for right now. Like, I'm on an estrogenic mess. My gut's a mess. Like, let's do something right now while I'm working on this long term.
Yeah, I think that's great. Wonderful. Well, you know, I kind of wanted to kind of close it up and, you know, always talk about stress and how inflammation, long-term inflammation, internal, external stressors is really the cause of aging. And, you know, there's a lot of fear around estrogen. I've really changed my perspective on estrogen. I really think that it helps save women's lives. And I think that it's very pro, you know, it's our hormone, right? So how we age, how we can age better, what ages us as we hormonally, and I think women just prescribe themselves as this is just hell, I'm going to have all these symptoms. But, you know, years and years back in ancient times, yes, we do have signs that they would use ashwagandha and all these adaptogens to help, but our bodies are not made to go through hell when we're in transition per se. Stress, we both would agree, causes aging, accelerates aging. Can you kind of just uniquely kind of bring your take on stress and aging and hormones? You know, I see a lot of hair loss, a lot of dry skin earlier than what women should experience. And this is all coming from stress.
Gray hair.
gray hair. Which
I saw a picture of on one of, I cannot remember which educator's post it was on, but it was showing how stress, it was former President Obama, and it was him early before, like right at the beginning of his presidency. And then at the end of his presidency, how gray he got. Mm-hmm. And it was like proof that stress really affects things like nitric oxide. Yep. And affects the grain of your hair. So, and you know, we joke is women sometimes as we get gray hair, we're like, well, this is from my kids, you know, or like, this is from my job, or this is from my my significant other. Like, this is what brings it on. It's true, though. It does.
From the heart speaketh. It really, truly is. The question is the answer. I mean, methylate, you're methylated out. You don't have any energy to grow hair or create melanin in your hair to be beautiful color. I mean, it's gone.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, cortisol, norepinephrine, and epinephrine, like, are three main stress hormones. They're what's called catabolic. They break things down. So they're going to break down your skin. They're going to break down your hair follicles, right? They're going to break down your energy. Over time, you know, it's going to affect your mood. And so they really are cortisol and epinephrine and norepinephrine. If you live in that constant state and don't manage it well, that's the key. Like, you can have a lot of stress in your life, but how you manage it is ultimately what's going to save you. Mm-hmm. And that's how it affects aging. On top of that are those, that master clock I was talking about earlier in the brain. You really literally have a clock gene. It's spelled C-L-O-C-K.
Yeah.
And if you disrupt your clock gene, if you don't get good sleep, if you're drinking alcohol before bed and not sleeping, if you're dealing with infections and inflammation and blood sugar issues through the night, if you, you know, like we talked about how you sleep and what time you get up and all this stuff, what that does is it decreases something called a sirtuin. And sirtuins, with an S, S-I-R, sirtuins, help a lot with chronic disease, mitochondrial health, aging, longevity. And so it's really, really important. It also, and to make a sirtuin, you need a coenzyme of your vitamin B3 called NAD. And NAD is really important for mitochondria. And so now we're looking again at cellular aging. Mm-hmm. And so it all ties back to your sleep-wake cycle, your light-dark cycle, and how you handle stress.
Yep.
We can't eliminate all stress ever, but how we handle it, what we do to let go, right? To take care of ourselves and our family is what registers with the body.
Yeah. And just, so we'll end on lifestyle. It really comes back to lifestyle. You know, it's oxytocin is nothing new, but even like going back to studies and relating it to telomerase and the chromosome and how communities that are really in community or people that are in relationship and actually present with each other, you know, we increase our oxytocin and neurotransmitters, which is related to our hormones and everything that you were just talking to, you know, it doesn't necessarily, I don't know if it really lengthens your telomeres, but it doesn't allow them to shorten as fast. So, you know, aging really is about feeling great as we enter this second stage of life where we want to move from success to significance and we want to feel great and we want to give back and we want to be present. And it's just the hormonal piece of it is so big for women. And one last thing, because I've got you. Hormone replacement therapy. Now, I personally am on topical estrogen. I'm not going to be having children, so I'm good with that. I remember the first time I took 200 milligrams of progesterone at night internally, and I had not remembered ever being tired, probably ever that tired in my life. And I was like, oh my God, I know what it feels like again to be tired before 10:30 at night. And I felt like I got my normalcy back. And so it really has made a huge difference for me, and I'm regulating it through the Dutch test to make sure I'm metabolizing, but it's not right for everybody. Do you see the increase of this going on with women now that the fear of it is kind of dissolving around the study and all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, HRT, hormone replacement therapy, encompasses a big umbrella. So women forget, like, DHEA is a hormone, progesterone is a hormone, estrogen is a hormone, testosterone is a hormone. So when women ask me, are you in favor of HRT? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But I may not be in favor of every hormone for every woman. Some women only need a few, some women need one. And I agree. As far as the estrogen goes, it's very individual, but I've never really been opposed to estrogen, even with the Women's Health Initiative that came out in 2002. And subsequently, the sheer amount of research that has come out saying, like, well, that was a pretty faulty study. You know, wow, a lot has actually been contraindicated since then. Mm-hmm. I'm still careful. I'm not cavalier with estrogen at all. I don't want women to say that. And it's not for everyone. But estrogen does so much in the body. From, you know, you may never get breast cancer, but the number one killer of women is heart disease. And estrogen can be really protective against heart disease. And you may never get breast cancer, but God forbid, I don't think you want Alzheimer's. And estrogen might be really helpful at the prevention, part of the prevention of Alzheimer's. And it's really helpful for our bones and preventing, reducing the risk for osteoporosis. And just aging in general, we talk looking older, skin, collagen formation, longevity overall. There's some really good research to indicate, maybe women want to preserve their estrogen as much as they can, age appropriate and risk appropriate for quite a while, because you may never get breast cancer, but you're probably going to get one of the other things, heart disease, osteoporosis. We just have to be careful.
You just name like the top four things, you know, from skin to bone to brain and Alzheimer's. You know, these are really, really important pieces that are dependent on estrogen. And so thank you for sharing that. And it's really quite sad to me. I've reached out to some people who have written books, but they won't speak publicly about their books based on that study and how they've used estrogen in their practice and kind of had done the antithesis and really saved many women's lives with estrogen, but they don't want to publicly talk about it because there's still so much stigma and fear around estrogen. And there's so many incredible people, especially when I started studying functional medicine to where it's at now. It's like, I feel like every chiropractor has some kind of certificate in it. Everybody's a functional medicine practitioner now. There's a lot of knowledge out there. There's a lot of, you know, mixed opinions. But Dr. Carey, thank you so much for everything that you shared today. I think I got all my list of like my questions. And I know I can kind of see my clients over here like asking me the question and to you. And
right.
Things are answered now, so I can send it to them and all the other women that are listening to the Awaken Beauty podcast. I always end the podcast with, on a personal note, is there anything, since we are on the Awaken Beauty podcast, that you personally have awakened to in your life? Doesn't have to be hormones, it doesn't have to be any of that, but you know, anything specifically that you have awakened to in your life?
I would say, it's funny you mentioned oxytocin earlier that we didn't talk about, but oxytocin is your feel good, your bonding hormone, bonding with people, bonding with your new baby when you're breastfeeding, bonding with your pets. And we adopted a dog in June of 2019. And he is my screensaver. I'm married, I have kids, but my dog is my screensaver because he brings me the greatest joy as in the highest oxytocin. He is my biggest stress release. And it's a funny awakening, but it just goes to show that the importance of having that just high oxytocin in our body, especially during times of stress, that animals can get, you know, our kids love us and our families love us, but sometimes they're conditional, or sometimes we want to hug our kids and they're like, not now, like, no, you know,
yeah.
Whereas your animals tend to want to, you know, they give you that unconditional love. And so I've definitely been awakened to the fact like, oh, this is just the greatest feeling in the whole world every time, because my dog is pretty hilarious. And so that's what I've awakened to, like the power of pets, the power of the dog, the power of oxytocin in a stress response.
That's so great. I have a client who is a dog trainer and I keep on begging her like, so when are you going to give me my puppy? Because she knows she's going to have to train it for me. And I see like my biohacking friend just got a puppy and it's like all these people are getting puppies to kind of like nurture their stress right now with COVID-19. And so yeah. I've seen your dog on some of your stories and it's such a sweet puppy. And
he's very, very cute. He's very funny. So he steals the show at home all the time.
What kind of breed is he?
I have no idea. We adopted him from a dog shelter. So he's a shepherd mix.
Shepherd something.
Yep.
Well, girl, I adore you. I really appreciate how you really are able to really speak at women at their level about hormones and your short stories. So, you know, all of you out there, please go to Dr. Carey Jones' Instagram channel and she has IG stories and everything right there. They're, you know, share her stories, get it out there. Now is not a time with the amount of information that we have that we should be in the dark about our hormones, our hormone health, and how we really can take control of our aging process. And, you know, look at her. She looks the epitome of beautiful, even in her little jammy top. And so thank you so much for being with us today. And all of you that have listened, make sure that you key into the Awaken Beauty podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Make sure you 5-star, leave a comment on today's episode of what you awakened to. Is there anything else that you want to say, Ms. Carey?
I just want to say thank you so much to everyone. Thank you to you for having me on the show. And then just to everyone listening, really, really, really take it seriously about your sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Circadian rhythm is the takeaway today. So, well, thank you, my dear. And everybody stay sane and get sleep and bring your sexy back. All right, ladies, if you're looking for natural, organic, solution-based beauty and superior CBD, go to evokebeauty.com. That's evokebeauty.com and receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's evokebeauty.com. Type in the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order. Well, hello, Awaken Beauty. Thank you so much for joining the show today. Were you inspired? Please leave a comment or your own personal aha moment so others can capture exactly what you did. Also, please like and subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And if you're interested in high quality natural products for your hair, skin, and wellness, including organic CBD, please visit evokebeauty.com. Again, that is evokebeauty.com, evokebeauty.com. And until next time, darling, stay sane, get sleep, and bring your sexy back.